All right, welcome everybody to another edition of Steel Nation Radio presented by Steelers Takeaways. I'm Mike Pelaya of SteelNationAssociation.com. And with me, as always, is the author of the book Steelers Takeaways and my co-host, Ron Lippick. How's it going tonight, Ron?
It's going great. We are lucky enough today to have Alex Kazor from Steelers Depot here to talk just a little bit about the offseason for the Steelers, about the draft, about some moves he may see the team making to boost its team for next year. So, welcome, Alex. How are you doing?
I'm great. Thanks for having me on. Disappointed with the way the Steelers season ended, but we're moving on now to draft talk and off-season talk, and NFL season never seems to end, does it?
No, it's a 24-hour full-year cycle these days. And speaking of that, you're actually at the Senior Bowl early draft look-sees at some of these guys out there. What did you take away from the Senior Bowl, especially as it pertains to the Steelers' needs?
Yeah, that was a great group. I thought it was a really strong 3 days of practice, and they had the game on Saturday. You know, obviously, and we're going to talk about this through Steelers' free agent needs and kind of the outlook, but edge is going to be the number one area to target, you know, for any Steelers fans would give you that answer. I thought there were several impressive edge guys down there in Mobile, and I'll give you two names to start of guys that impressed me, and then two names that I think Steelers have interest in, but the two names that impressed me were Hassan Reddick from Temple and Derek Rivers from Youngstown State. Reddick had never played inside linebacker before, but Phil Savage had him play a little bit of inside while still giving him reps on the edge. So, you know, for a guy in that situation to play both spots after, you know, trying to pick up an NFL playbook and play them well, he was the best edge guy, and I think to me, maybe the best inside linebacker as well. A great athlete. Sideline to sideline range, wins with that speed and dip and rip move. Not a big guy. He's about 6'1", 237. So maybe that goes a little against the mold of what the Steelers look for, but just a guy that I think can do it all. And similar story with Derek Rivers. Rivers a little bigger, a little longer. You know, he's got great nuance for as a pass rusher with hand placement and just doing some of the little things to separate. He can convert speed to power. He can win the edge as well. And I thought he was the best edge-setting outside linebacker against the run down there. And then real quick, the other two guys that I've heard the Steelers have interest in is both Illinois guys, Dwayne Smoot and Carroll Phillips. Smoot, a little more refined, a little less athletic, but has some good flexibility and ability to corner the edge that I didn't see on tape, but I saw routinely in one-on-ones down in Mobile. Phillips is more athletic, more energetic, but definitely does not have a plan as a pass rusher and can get out of position too often. I think he's a little bit older as well. So I always compare Carroll Phillips a little bit to Howard Jones whenever the Steelers got him as a UDFA out of Sheppard, a great athlete, but a guy that kind of needed a lot of coaching and a lot of reps and would make mistakes. But, you know, I'm rambling on about the edge guys, but that is the number one concern for the Steelers right now. And I think they're going to end up drafting somebody who played at the Senior Bowl.
So kind of...
In terms of those edge guys, there's a lot of guys with that you mentioned that seem to have some versatility, and that seems to be more and more, especially when you take a look at that New England game. It seems like versatility, being able to mix up those packages, is key, and those guys seem to have some of that versatility that the team really covets.
Absolutely. You know, we live in an era of sub-package football. We're no longer in the days of just 3-4 base and you're going to line up in one spot. Now, the Steelers kind of end up playing sides maybe more than most teams. You know that, you know, Bud Dupree was going to be your left outside linebacker, James Harrison your right outside linebacker. But, you know, once you get in third down and some of those sub-package, guys move all around. They're on ball, they're off ball, they're inside linebacker, they're outside. They're dropping into coverage. You know, James Harrison dropping into coverage about 30% of the time this year. So there's nobody safe that everyone's going to be asked to drop. So the more you can do, the more hats you can wear. And that's why I love Hassan Reddick, because I think he's done it all. He began his college career as a cornerback at about a $185, and they moved him to the front seven as the edge guy, and he's obviously gotten his weight up. So I thought he looked extremely fluid in coverage and just seemed the guy that, you know, was competitive and wasn't too big by the moment. And he's going to test off the charts at the combine. I don't know exactly what he's going to test, but he told me that he wants to run in the 4.3s. If he can even sniff that, if he can run in the mid 4.4s at about 2.40, I think he could be very much in play for pick 30 for Pittsburgh.
Let me ask you this one. I think I know the answer to it. I think most people probably do, but are the Steelers done with Jarvis Jones? I mean, is this it? That experiment's over?
Well, I'll say Steeler fans are done with Jarvis Jones, and they've probably been done with Jarvis Jones for a while now. But yeah, I think that's it for Jones. And not even just about do the Steelers want him back, but does Jarvis Jones want to be back in Pittsburgh? It's kind of similar to Ziggy Hood. And, you know, not an awful player. Maybe got too bad of a rap than what he deserved. They were, you know, physical players. They could set the, they could hold the play of attack. They could, you know, win against the run. They had good motors. They had a couple moments. But the scheme fit just wasn't great. It didn't pan out. Hood ended up going to Jacksonville to play in a 4-3 and kind of a system that might have fit his needs a little bit better. So, yeah, I just think you wash your hands clean of Jarvis Jones. It didn't work out. It was a bad evaluation. Just too poor of an athlete. No bend around the edge. He wasn't the awful player some people make him, you know, want to make him out to be. But as you guys know, pass rushers, you got to get sacked. That's how you earn your money. We can talk about all the other details, and they're important, but you got to get after the quarterback, and Jarvis Jones failed about as bad as you can fail in that regard.
So that leads us to a good segue here, because we're going to take a little walk around the team a bit, position by position, on some of the key spots on the team that look to have some change happening. And maybe just give a couple minutes of insight onto each one of those in terms of free agency outlook, in terms of draft prospects that might fill in those spots. And what better place to start than what we've just started with, outside linebacker? You already spoke of Jarvis Jones leaving. Harrison says he wants to return, but we do have to re-sign him. Any other thoughts about outside linebacker in terms of who you think might be a first-round pick? Everyone talks about Melvin Ingram, but that seems to be a pie-in-the-sky hope in terms of free agency. So what are your thoughts on how they address that position and get some rush?
Yeah, I think they go with the draft. I mean, they could make one or two moves, just generally speaking, in free agency. Kevin Colbert's been a little more aggressive than people think. People think Pittsburgh is like Green Bay with Ted Thompson, where they never venture out. But, you know, Mike Mitchell and Darius Green got $20 to $25 million contracts. So that's not big money, but that's not, you know, the veteran minimum kind of contract either. So we've seen that before, and the Steelers are going to be in a better place cap-wise than usual. But I think they're going to go just, you know, through the draft, kind of go through their process. I haven't honestly looked at a whole lot of free agency names yet, just because we're just getting off the end of the season and I was down in Mobile. But like I said, Hassan Reddick at pick 30. You could see Carl Lawson as a 30th overall pick. I bet you're going to see Carl Lawson in 95% of mock drafts from now until late April. So
those are kind of the two names. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
So if we push to the
moving inside in that defensive line, any thoughts on any needs on that defensive line, or are we pretty set there?
You could see a 6th to 7th round flyer. I think obviously at that point, you know, it's not about needs; it's about just who has value. Like Tyler Medikevich this year was taken because he was the highest guy left on their board. If Ricardo Matthews comes back, though, and that's possible, I wasn't actually too impressed with Matthews playing this year. He lost play time to LT Walton, just kind of started playing in nickel. Walton came in base. But if they keep Matthews, then I don't know if you're going to make a move. I mean, the only other thought would be, you know, do you try to bring in a backup nose tackle to maybe push McCullers off the roster? You can take it or leave it. I wouldn't be mad either way. But whenever you have Tua and Hayward that are going to play about 75 to 80% of the time, as you've seen Hargrave, great development in year one. You got to try to find a way to give him more snaps in year two, which could be a little difficult because you're pretty stacked at the position. And I'm very encouraged by what LT Walton did, especially against Veron and staying off the ground. That was a big issue for him his rookie year. He did a much better job of that in year two overall, defending the run, holding the point of attack. So 6th, 7th round, maybe, but I don't think it's going to be a high pick.
I'd like to go to the secondary. And you know, we have Artie Burns. He's probably going to be going in as the number one corner. It looks like Ross Cockrell's probably slated in for the number two. I think they probably move on from William Gay, but are they looking to draft another one? I mean, Senquez Golson hopefully comes back. He hasn't played yet in his first 2 years. Are they going to rely on him, or don't they have to draft another corner? That's just the weakest spot in the entire defensive unit.
Absolutely, Mike. I think the nickel corner spot is a position of need that not many people are talking about. I think they hold on to William Gay for at least one more year, unless they go the veteran free agent route, but I don't know if that's a wise move to do. Playing in the slot is so difficult. There are so many components to it. Well, you have to be a strong safety type against the run. Anytime you're facing a receiver in the slot, you know, you have the whole route tree open. It's hard to be able to win by out-leveraging someone. Artie Burns had a lot of success this year because he could play in that cover two, you know, press technique and be able to use his leverage to limit the route tree of receivers. He can't really do that in the slot. So I think they invest in the position because, like you said, you just can't trust anything from Senquist Goldson. It's not necessarily his fault. It's an unfortunate situation to be in, but 2 years, haven't even made it to a preseason game. You have no new evaluation on this guy from the time you drafted him, basically to the time, you know, right now and going into the offseason. So I think the nickel spot could be something you see on day two. Let me just throw one name out here really quick, and I think it was Sean Ledger reported that this guy met with the Steelers during the Senior Bowl. Cam Sutton from Tennessee seems like he would fit what the Steelers like. He's played corner, inside and out, been moving to safety for Mobile, and he was still playing some of the nickel role. A good athlete. Seems like he has a high football IQ. He was taking on to the safety role pretty quickly, picking it up. They like the angles he was taking in his deep half. Zone turn. So I think maybe Cam Sutton, if he falls to 60, could be a pick for the Steelers.
Another one of those versatile guys. Moving into the inside, one position people aren't talking a lot about that I think might surprise people in the draft is inside linebacker, especially if Timmons leaves, which is a distinct possibility. I'd love to hear your thoughts on that. But I don't know if Vince Williams is the guy they want as a starter because of perhaps some lack of coverage skill. Do they go inside linebacker early? Do they surprise some folks? Because that seems to be an area of potential weakness as well.
Inside linebacker is a position I'm really wrestling with, and I'd love to be able to look into the crystal ball I don't have and tell you guys exactly what's going to happen with Lawrence Timmons, but man, I just don't know. You know, we thought when Vince Williams got his long-term deal before the season started, this was it for Timmons, but he played at a high level again this year, was able to be healthy. Remember, he was affected by turf toe at the start of 2015, and that was kind of why his play looked a little worse than what you expected. So I don't know if Timmons comes back. You know, if it was me, I'd be okay with letting him go. I mean, I love what Timmons has done. I love the way he's approached the game and there's been that constant, steady presence. But you're going to have to make some tough decisions. You know, you have AB's long-term deal that you got to get done. Le'Veon Bell is likely to get the franchise tag. Some other young guys you got to start allocating money for. You got to make some tough decisions, and not everybody's going to be able to come back. I think Vince Williams can do on early downs a lot of what Lawrence Timmons does. And I'll leave you with this thought on inside linebacker. I wonder if the Steelers are going to take a really heavy look at trying to get one of those new age hybrid safety linebacker types. You guys know the types, the Mark Barons, Deion Buchanans, Daniel Sorensens of the world, someone that can come in on third down and be that cover guy. Because they tried to run dime before with Robert Golden, haven't really gotten the results that they wanted. So maybe they look for someone like that. I remember Jatavis Brown from Akron last year. I think the Steelers had some interest in. Ultimately goes to San Diego and has a great rookie season. That's a lot of where the position is going, and I wonder if the Steelers are going to try to find somebody because they don't have a ton of needs. They can play around with picks. They can kind of look at an interesting guy with some upside. I don't know if that's going to happen. I don't have a name for you right now, but I wonder if that's going to be in the cards for the Steelers.
I want to drop back to the safety spot for a second. I read something, I want to say it was on ESPN the other day, where there's a possibility of the Steelers moving on from Mike Mitchell, save $4 or $5 million this year. They already have a ton of cap space. I don't see that as a necessity. I don't see that it's happening this year. I don't see anybody that can fill that spot either. Do you see that as a real possibility that they would move on from Mitchell this offseason?
Not one bit, Mike. My jaw would hit the floor if Mike Mitchell was cut. I think people underappreciate and undervalue what Mike Mitchell has done. Obviously, he's an enforcer over the middle. He's a big hitter. But, you know, the ball doesn't really go over his head too often. Now, I'm saying that after the Patriots game when they got him on the flea flicker, but there are a couple exceptions anytime you're going to play the deep safety like he does. But, you know, I think that the value Mitchell has in a lot of ways are things we don't see on the box score. You know, receivers know who he is. They don't want to go over the middle because they know he's going to light you up. Communication. This guy's gone through so many different safety pairings, not only in Pittsburgh, but just his whole NFL career, whether it was Oakland, where they had different guys and played under, I think, two defensive coordinators. When he went to Carolina, they rotated safeties. Next in, they had Quentin Michael, a veteran, with Robert Lester, an undrafted rookie free agent. So he had a deal with both of those guys. Then in Pittsburgh, you've had Troy, who's his own special breed, trying to communicate with and figure out what he's doing. You've had Will Allen, you had Robert Golden, you had Sean Davis. He's been able to communicate with all those guys, and they're, you know, as he's gone through, there's been less communication breakdowns overall. That's a testament to his football IQ and the value that he has. And like you said, Mike, there's just no in-house replacement right now for him. So to cut him would, I think, just be the wildest thing in the world, and I find that extremely unlikely to happen. I'm happy with the safety group of Mitchell, Davis, and Robert Golden as that third safety. I'm pretty content with that group. Maybe you find somebody late in the draft, but I like the big three they have.
Yeah, I think people undervalue how difficult it is to pair safeties up and that communication that you need to have, especially in that Pittsburgh defense where, yeah, especially with guys like Troy, there's a lot of freelancing going on, a lot of movement. Mm-hmm. That communication is undervalued, I think. Moving on to offense, where we didn't think we would have a lot of needs going into this season, now we have a couple surprise needs. And you know, let's go with the most glaring position in terms of just confusion, and that's wide receiver, where we have obviously a number one, a really awesome number one wide receiver, and a lot of seemingly number threes and four wide receivers. And then we have sort of the name line Martavis Bryant and whether he comes back, and if so, is he allowed to come back? A lot of some questions there, especially as that number two spot sort of, you know, looks at us and we try to figure out what's going on there. What are your thoughts on what they do with that wide receiver position, especially with that number two slot?
Yeah, hopefully we can just get an answer on Martavis Bryant before the draft. You know, I wrote an article today for Steelers Depot just kind of, you know, reminding people that Goodell's process of reinstatement doesn't always seem to follow the CBA. You know, Alden Smith was supposed to hear back by December 2nd when he applied for reinstatement. It's supposed to be a 60-day process. Bryant just applied for it, but Goodell took about an extra month to finally make a decision and decided not to let him back into the league for now. So hopefully for draft purposes and, you know, maybe some free agent purposes as well, the Steelers can have an idea. Like you said, Ron, they have AB as your number one. Eli Rogers will be your slot guy next year. So who is that number two? Is it Sammy Coates? Is it somebody else? You know, if Brian comes back, it will be him, but, you know, there's always a concern about how long will you have him for. So I think it's not going to be free agency. I think maybe you could see a mid-round receiver pick with some upside, maybe a fifth or sixth-round pick even, that you could say, okay, if everything's so stacked and Brian comes back and things shake out like it could, this guy might not have a home, so let's put him on the practice squad for a year. But I think it's a position where if you want to take somebody, go with the big upside. You know, you might as well go big. You don't need that high floor and low ceiling kind of guy that has to contribute right away. So it's an interesting spot. I don't know really for sure. I'll throw one name at you, though, that I saw at the Senior Bowl this week. Chad Williams from Grambling State. Now, he's got some off-the-field concerns. He has some firearm chargers. It's kind of a history there. But he's a guy that can win vertically. And we know the Steelers like their height, weight, speed guys. And, you know, Williams caught 96 passes at Grambling this year and still averaged about 15 yards a catch. I mean, he had some huge games, you know, week in and week out. He's a guy that can fly. He's a guy that can win vertically. And we've seen with Bryant. We've seen with Sammy Coates. Even with Marcus Wheaton. People forget how fast Marcus Wheaton was. Steelers really emphasize speed and 40 times, you know, sub 4 or 5 guys if they want to draft him. So I wouldn't rule it out, but Bryant's situation makes things murky.
What about Wheaton? Is he going to come back, or are they going to move on from him?
Yeah, I think they move on. I think someone's going to get really good value with Marcus Wheaton. Obviously, injuries have really, unfortunately, derailed his career from whatever he had his rookie year. I forget, a hand injury of some sort to this year where he just couldn't get over some of the injuries that he was dealing with. But, yeah, I just think, you know, he needs reps. He's a guy that, you know, if he's not getting the reps, he's really struggled. And then with all the other positions, and Eli Rogers being your slot guy, even if Wheaton were to return, I think Rogers would clearly be the guy, the starter coming into things. I think you could just clean your hands of Marcus Wheaton and move on. But I think someone's going to get good value with him on the open market.
Yeah, he screams Emmanuel Sanders to me. He screams like someone New England would go pick up and turn into an 80-90 catch the season kind of guy to me.
Remember, New England tried to get Emmanuel Sanders.
Exactly. So that's why I'm thinking, you know, this guy just seems to follow that path to me. So moving a little bit more inside, running back, you know, does D'Angelo Williams come back? Can they afford to bring him back with all the other things going on, especially at the running back spot? And if not, does a guy like Connor entice Pittsburgh if he slips to 3 or 4? You know, what do they do at running back?
Well, if you want to bring back D'Angelo Williams, it wouldn't be cost prohibitive. I mean, he's a 34-year-old running back. They're not going to cost too much. But I know Tomlin said he was open to the idea of it, and Deebo's been a guy that's played well here and has a great locker room presence and has done fantastic community work and has had an absolutely, you know, great career. But Again, like I said earlier with Timmons, sometimes you have to make some tough decisions to go with a cheaper route and a better long-term outlook. And I think Andrew Williams is a guy that you, you know, finally part ways with because he's not, he doesn't have any long-term future with his team. We've seen the injury bug creep up. And this running back group in the draft this year is absolutely loaded. You know, you mentioned James Conner down there at the Senior Bowl. Several guys that I like. Kareem Hunt, at the top of my list out of Toledo, who's got a If he gets his weight up a little bit closer to the 220 range than what he's listed at, he's basically a Mendenhall and even to an extent Bell kind of size back. They like bigger power guys in Pittsburgh. So you have Hunt, you have Corey Clement from Wisconsin, who I'm really high on. You have Matt Days from NC State, who did some decent things in the game yesterday. You know, and the whole, you know, underclassmen is chock full of great running backs. So you're going to get awesome value in the third, fourth round of running back, and that's kind of where I think the Steelers could make a move at the position. So I'm all for parting ways with DeAndre Williams and drafting a guy that's going to be your backup and give you long-term value to Le'Veon Bell.
And the big question, I think everybody knows what Ben said this week. I don't think he's going to retire. Most people don't think he's going to retire, but is this the draft that they find his replacement? If it's not this year, he's going to be, you know, even if he plays out his contract, which is 3 more years, is it time to start grooming that person that's going to be his replacement? And if so, can they even find him in this draft? I mean, there's only so many first-round picks that you have, so what are the odds there?
Right. It's really tricky, and I'm with you, obviously. I don't think Ben's going to retire. I think he's being sincere with this statement because he's got, you know, 2 kids and a wife and a family and his future to think about. You know, is he going to be a guy that can walk when he's 45 years old and be able to play with his kids and stuff like that? So I think he's being sincere about it, but I don't think he's going to retire. I can't imagine Ben's going to go out his last game being a loss to the Patriots where they get their butts kicked, even though Ben played reasonably well. So it's really tough. I know the Steelers had some interest in quarterback last year. This quarterback class is not great. The Senior Bowl was awful for any of those guys. Watching them throw the football was an experience, we'll put it at that. But it's just, for me, it's just so tough to try to find a quarterback in the mid-rounds because you don't have the investment and the ability to develop that guy. He's never going to get a rep, and by the time, you know, he might have a chance to see a significant role, you know, he's almost up, his contract's almost up. So if it was me, I wouldn't do it. I'd wait at least another year. Because the other factor is, too, if you're using a pick on a quarterback, let's say you want to make a higher investment, a second or third-round pick, now you're taking away a potential second or third round pick who can help your team win this year and next year because this is a Super Bowl contending team. It's only going to get better, I think. You know, imagine if you didn't have a Sean Davis or a Javon Hargrave as an impact player this year where this team could potentially be at. So that's kind of what you have to wrestle with is the potential of the quarterback panning out worth the realization that you're not going to get a guy that could help you more immediately and fill a bigger short-term need to get this team over the hump and make them a Super Bowl champion. That's a tough decision. It's a difficult question to wrestle with. There's no easy or right answer there. But for me personally, I would like to go other positions and fill your needs and make this team as talented as possible and get everything you can out of the time that Ben has left to get him and the Steelers another Lombardi Trophy.